fact that we're like live, live is so much added pressure.
No.
The pressure is on.
It's late on a Friday night. I'm tired.
It is late.
The late, late, late night.
I'm missing garage time right now.
Garage time?
Yes.
What's garage time?
What old people do when they don't go out.
Oh.
And that's how we'll start the Friday night podcast. What is garage time?
Love it.
All right, let's. We are live. Let's get this rolling. Welcome to the Friday Night Podcast. Our main camera right now. I don't know what one it is. It's actually that one right there, right down at the end.
Right.
Welcome
here
to the Friday Night Podcast. Thank you for joining everybody. We're gonna learn about what Garage Band is. Garage time.
Garage time
is here shortly. my name is Bucky Beeman. I'm a commercial real estate agent in Rochester, Minnesota. One of the co-founders of the China Hall, where we are at tonight. We're excited with our first ever nonprofit from the community here, so we'll learn more about that nonprofit. Josh, who are you? What do you do?
I'm Josh. I'm not a co-owner. I started Media Corps here in town, and we do video production and social media marketing.
I'm Jimmy Warren with Fitness Evolution, the one-stop shop for fitness. On the spot, there we go.
Wow, impressive.
New slogan right there.
And the two wonderful ladies we are here with, who are we here with?
I'm Grace Pesch. I'm the Impact Program Manager at United Way.
And I'm Jennifer Teske. I'm the Vice President of Resource Development at United Way.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So I think it was the last episode. I got a message on the offices of China Hall Facebook page, and it was like from United Way. I feel like it was from United Way, like of Olmsted County.
I might have been on the United Way page instead of my own personal page, so sorry for the confusion.
No, that's cool. I saw it, and it was like, do you have any interest in having additional guests on the podcast? And I was like, sure. I don't know. I didn't know what to respond with. Like, you're actually one of the first people that have asked us to be on the podcast. We're always like scraping to try to find people, and like gets to the last minute, and we're like, yeah, that person bailed. Like, we got to find somebody new.
Who's coming in? I'll call someone quick.
So thank you for reaching out.
Yeah, well, I told my husband, I said, oh my gosh, I have to get on this podcast. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, now you're here.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace is here too. Thank you for joining us, Grace.
Yes, happy to be here.
United Way, honestly, I don't know much about United Way. So
you sent me a link, and like, we're talking about this tonight, and I did not get to read that link, so I have no idea.
It's okay.
So which is good. I can learn about the nonprofit world from my YMCA background. I grew up going to the Y. YMCA is a big nonprofit in the United States and also in the state. So that's probably my knowledge of nonprofits, and that's probably a lot of the people that we know as far as lack of knowledge for nonprofits.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So what is United Way? What does United Way of Olmsted County do?
Oh, we're going to educate you tonight.
Sweet.
You know, one of the things that we like to say is that we fight for the health, education, and financial stability of everyone in our community. And that's a mouthful. You know, that is a big job within our community, but that's where we focus our efforts is health, education, and financial stability. So we're doing both internal program as well as supporting external programs that are in those realms and really helping connect people with resources to better themselves in their life and do good in our community.
Neat. You want to add to that, Grace?
Yeah. So as Jennifer mentioned, we support internal programs and external programs. So we provide funding for external programs in our community that really encompass those three focus areas. And then my job is to manage the internal programs. So some of those things are our tax preparation program. So that is a partnership between United Way and the AARP Foundation. And so that is tax preparation services for individuals in Olmsted and Dodge County. So they can get their taxes prepared for free with an IRS certified tax preparer. And then also FamilyWise is our prescription savings card. So if you are looking for a prescription that you need on a regular basis, you can go onto the FamilyWise website, look that up, and figure out where the price is lowest at a pharmacy in our community. And then you just show them the card or you show them the app, and then you can get that discount. I know Jennifer has used that before. And then also we have the Running Start for School program, which is our school supply drive for the school districts in our area in Olmsted County. And then also 211, which is our information resource referral number. So if you are ever in a circumstance where you just don't know where to turn, whether that is you have housing needs, you have food assistance needs, or mental health or substance abuse needs, you can call 211 and they will help get you connected to resources either locally, or they have access to statewide resources on their database as well.
I think especially right now with the government shutdown, 211 has played a key role in helping people both locally as well as across the United States deal with that and know how to connect to resources in this time of crisis. So I've really seen a lot of what we've done nationally as well as what we've done locally to be able to promote that. And to work as one network is just fabulous. And I know that Mary Sellers, who is our United Way president, is actually speaking, I believe, with the United States Chamber of Commerce and sharing what we're doing. So it's just fabulous to be able to help people in need reach their potential. And we do it in so many different ways. So it's hard to even boil it down in one single conversation. We typically find out what people's passions are and then talk to what we do in their area of passion, whether it be youth-related, health-related, education, dealing with affordable housing. I know I was just at Eggs and Issues this morning with the Chamber of Commerce. I know that affordable housing was a huge topic of discussion. So we play a role in that space as well. Early childhood education. We're doing some continued work in food security. So, you know, 1 in 5 children in our area are food insecure, if you can imagine being a child going home hungry. You know, that kind of puts it into perspective of there are many people in our community that need our help and need the help of our community to rise out of their situation and make a better place in a for their family. And there's a variety of ways that you can do that and that we help.
One thing I'm curious on is, can you share about the path of both of you getting to the nonprofit world? I feel like so many of the people we talk to is the for-profit world, and we try to navigate that path of like, okay, you're going to start a business, and hopefully someone borrows you some money or you've saved some money, and then you maybe make it successful, or maybe you fail and you go back to work. What led you to the path of the nonprofit world? And getting you to where you're at today. And Josh, real quick, that camera over there in the corner, can you adjust it to that corner just so we can see them a little bit better?
Yeah.
The small iPhone. But go for it, Grace. What's got you into...
So I actually studied public health in college, and so I knew from a really young age that health was my passion and figuring out how to help people and more broadly their communities be a place where people can have access to the things that are going to make them most healthiest, whether that is health education, good food, a place to safely participate in physical activity, access to vaccinations, different things like that. So that was my big broad view, as I knew I wanted to help communities become as healthy as possible. So I went to Winona State to study public health, and then I came back here to Rochester where I grew up and looked for a job, and I found a job at Boulder Options, which is a health and wellness focused youth mentoring program here. I didn't necessarily think nonprofits was the thing I wanted to do originally. I really saw myself in a local or state health department. I did an internship at the local health department here, and that helped me figure out kind of what the direction I wanted to go in was. And so I said I wanted to dabble a little bit in the nonprofit sector, and have come to find that that is a really great place for me to be. And so then I spent 2 years at Boulder Options, and then I just started at the United Way less than 2 months ago. So I'm a newbie here, but I enjoy nonprofits because it's a lot of work, but the beauty of a lot of work is that you get to do a lot of different things and you get to be in a lot of different roles and learn a lot about yourself and your work styles, and just continuing to refine your own professional characteristics and capacities.
I have quite an extensive background in nonprofit management and the nonprofit sector. I know I probably only look about 25, but...
Totally. We're the same age. You know, same age.
I have quite a few more years on Grace. So I actually did go to school to work for a nonprofit, which is not very common. But I knew from the start that I wanted to help people, and specifically kids. So I went to the University of Northern Iowa, and I entered a program that at the time was called American Humanics, and it trained young professionals to work for nonprofits. So our coursework was grounded in volunteer development, facility development, fundraising, you name it. We were doing it and volunteering in a lot of different nonprofit organizations. And the major was called leisure services. So anything you do in your leisure time, I learned how to program for. So I know that we used to joke that we learned how to, you know, play games with kids. But that's really what I love to do, is just engaging with kids. And so I started out with the YMCA system. I was a membership coordinator at Sioux City, Iowa, and then I was a youth and family program director. And then I started out with their first fundraiser that I was in charge of. And typically in a nonprofit, if you do well in fundraising, you get that task assigned to you to for the rest of the time.
Because that's a lot of how you live and breathe in that world.
Yes, right? Yes. So I was actually recruited from Sioux City by the Boy Scouts in the Twin Cities, because my affiliation with American Humanics and a grad from my program was in the Boy Scouts in Twin Cities. And knew the background. With the program that I graduated with, you have a leg up in the nonprofit. You're not starting from scratch. I love Boy Scouts. Never thought that I'd be working for the Boy Scouts. I always have to correct people because they always introduce me and say, oh, she worked for the Girl Scouts. Nope, I worked for the Boy Scouts. I was a district executive, so I was in charge of all the PACs, troops and crews in the southern area of the Twin Cities in Dakota County. So, wow. You know, I worked with the volunteer leaders and did the fundraising for that area. And it was just the time of my life. I love the kids and the parents and just seeing the development there. And then, of course, I had my 3-year review, and they said, do you want to go somewhere else? And I said, sure. And so I came to Rochester, where I took the role of development and marketing here in Rochester at Game Haven Council. I was here for 3 years. And ironically, while I was working for the Boy Scouts, it was a time when the United Way was changing their funding model. And I don't know if, you know.
Tell us more.
So
I feel like the funding model is like, hey, we need some money because we do great things in the community. Let me tell you about them. Mm-hmm. It's got to be way more than that.
Well, it is. It is. And we changed to a community impact model, which is what we operate today. We started out at United Way as a community chest in 1925, put together by the Kiwanis and the Rotary and some business-minded people, and said, you know, we need to have a community chest so people can donate to it, and then we can decide where that goes. So that's how United Way started out, and it really kind of continued that way for a long, long time, and was given to great organizations, but maybe not as strategically as we could to make the impact that really makes a difference in a community. So when the model changed, and I was working for the Boy Scouts, we were receiving a lot of dollars from United Way. We were not diversifying our funding stream, which is a no-no for nonprofits, but the fundraising realm, you know, needs to catch up with times, and that was about the time that we were catching up to trends. And so when the model changed, scouting was really dependent on United Way. And that opened our eyes of the sophistication of fundraising and how we really needed to think differently and diversify our funding streams and be more donor-centered, really connect with our donors, which I think a lot of nonprofits, that is best practice, but the capacity to do that is often either not there or the nonprofit just hasn't gotten to that level of sophistication with their fundraising model. And it is more of a give because we need it, not necessarily, I want to know what your passion is, and can I align your passion with something that we're doing today, and then build a relationship and show you what we can do if you decide to invest in our organization, and really build that upon, you know, what I know about you, what you know about us, and build a relationship rather than being transactional. So anyway, back to the Boy Scout story. I was on the other hand. United Way changed the funding model and really focused on early childhood education, which is phenomenal. It's something that we need to do because kids learning from 0 to 5, their basis of and trajectory in life, really what they learn from 0 to 5 is very important. And that's where we lose some ground. So if we're not preparing kids for to enter kindergarten ready, we're behind the curve. Boy Scouts don't serve 0 to 5. So you can imagine the funding kind of went down. And so that's why I think that I have an interesting perspective, because I've been on the nonprofit side of that experience, as well as the impact model that we have in place that really is strategic and intentional and making moves in this community. And we just need to get the word out about it, of all the good that we are doing and how we are being really strategic and being stewards, good stewards of our investors' dollars, and making the most critical impacts in our community that are gonna really help us turn the curve with all of our aspects of society that we're dealing with in each of those areas. So I was with the Boy Scouts, and then I went to St. Mary's University. I had a stint with Edward Jones Investments, so
went to the for-profit.
I did go to the for-profit. I went to the dark side.
How was it?
I was door knocking.
So you were on the sales side, like,
oh yeah,
build customers. Oh, so it was kind of like the fundraising. So you were thinking, I can do fundraising. I can go and right.
Fundraising is very much like sales.
Yeah. I was literally
nonprofits
door
are very
knocking.
Much like business. I mean, that's 100%, right? Yes.
This was in the middle of winter, Minnesota winter, and it was like 2007-ish, 2008.
Oh, perfect timing,
it was
right?
Horrible time to start in the financial realm. Horrible time.
And
but,
literally door knocking, like knocking on their door.
Literally, I was the best dressed saleswoman that you would find door knocking in -5 right. degree weather.
Like today.
Yes, like today. I would be out door knocking. But it is amazing what people will tell you at their doorstep, you know, especially when they might feel a little bit guilty because you're standing out there freezing, you know. But no, I mean, building relationships by just talking to people is a skill that I think a lot of people need to develop. And I believe me, I learned how to develop it very quickly. It ended up that, you know, it just wasn't a good fit for me. The strong arm, and it was not even strong arm sales, but just the heavy sales part of that just did not fit my personality. I loved helping people. And in fact, I helped families set up 529s for their kids. And, you know, that stuff is rewarding, but it just didn't cut it for me. So then I went to St. Mary's University in higher ed and was visiting major gift prospects all over the United States. So, and they were alumni from St. Mary's. I hung out with probably average age was about 70 to 80 years old. So I became the grandchild of many people across the United States that was talking to them about investing in their alma mater. So, but that was a really great experience as well. And from St. Mary's, I had 7 years there, had kids, and couldn't travel as much as I was 70 to 80% of the time. And so I was able to develop a class reunion giving program that they had not had in place from 5 to 55, because the 50th anniversary people that I was visiting said, where have you been for the last 50 years? You know, so we were right. able to develop that program. And then I came to Boys and Girls Club here in Rochester as the director of philanthropy. Had a wonderful time with Boys and Girls Club, and really strongly believe in mission there, and then came to United Way. So
cool.
That's a long description.
It's a great career.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's really interesting, and I just love everything about the nonprofit sector, and specifically, you know, helping youth in our area succeed. But when I came to United Way, it was really an eye-opener to the totality of need in our community, because I was very focused on youth needs. I knew exactly what youth needed to succeed in our community, but I was not thinking of the broader picture at that point in time until really starting to delve deep into the data and the needs in totality in our community.
Hmm. That's awesome. I can ask all the questions like I always do, but I'm going to leave the mic open for a moment.
So with United Way, you're saying that you need to, you know, kind of get a bigger reach in the community. And, mm-hmm. you know, how are you doing that, like, thus far? Like, how does the community learn about United Way?
So typically, our bread and butter has always been the workplace campaign. So, you know, we go into a workplace and talk to HR or the GM or the owner of the business and say, and talk about what are the needs of the community, how can we help you, and in return, how can you help us? And payroll deduction is just the sweetest thing I've ever, you know, dreamt of, because it's so easy to give through payroll deduction. And when you can give through payroll deduction, $3, $5, $10, $50, you don't see it.
Yeah.
You don't feel it, but it makes an impact. So, you know, there's many people that are giving, you know, $5 a paycheck, and it adds up.
So when you do that and you go and you talk to a company, do you try to set up, like, where you can talk in front of the whole company and then set something up where, hey, if you want, you can then do the payroll deduction, kind of stuff like that?
Yes.
Where you get to talk in front of the whole group of everyone.
The best time is to be able to talk. The best practice is to be able to talk in front of people.
Yeah.
But we also train coordinators from each of the employers to do that as well.
Okay.
Yep. You know, we have a fabulous video that tells about our impact in the community. But really, for employees to be able to share their own personal experiences, typically in a room that I talk to, half the people in the room have either utilized services or know somebody that has utilized services and benefited from the support of United Way, whether they knew it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a big portion of it is education. And there's so many things beyond just what I think people often think of United Way as a pass-through organization. And that's kind of what it was back in the day. You know, your employer would say, it'd be great to give to United Way, and then they'll decide the best place to go, or you know it's gonna go to these organizations. I'm just gonna pass it on through, or I'm gonna donor designate and pass it through to my favorite charity.
Mm-hmm.
But we're much more than a pass-through organization, especially now when we're being very strategic about the impact that we're making in the community. So just getting that word out there,
yeah.
And it's so hard to get in front of people. I mean, you would think that it would be really easy, But, you know, employers are very guarded with the time that they have with their employees. And it's our job to help them understand the benefit of what running a campaign would do for the community.
So when people want to learn more, because it sounds like, you know, the United Way is doing a lot of different things all over the place, where would someone go to, like, just on a personal level, take the next step to learn just more instead of, you know, initially talking or hearing someone? Is there places where they can go and learn about that stuff?
They could certainly go to the website.
Like, website has all that. And
what are you thinking of?
Well, yeah, like, yeah, websites. And you said you had that video, so you have all that access. No, that's
cool. We've been trying to do some more things with social media. Yep.
Well, Grace is in the building, so of course you are, right?
I do send my social media plans to Chelsea. And yes, I just tell her what to post.
We are going down that rabbit hole because I want to. So,
oh, okay.
All right, so Grace did a wonderful job at Boulder Options, I feel like, because I didn't know about Boulder Options. And I think you had played some role into the Instagram account, maybe?
Yes.
Okay. And so share about what you feel is needed. And it can be in United Way or it can be nonprofits wide. On the social media aspect, like, what should they be doing, or what's good practice, you know, for that? That's all right. We're all good. One
down. I don't know if I'm thank you for thinking I'm qualified to answer that question. I think just being a genuine storyteller. What kind of information would you, as a person that wants to learn about an organization that serves people in your community, what would you want to know? And so when I was posting things at my previous position, I was just posting things that I thought other people might be interested in knowing about. So the activities that I was doing with the kids, I would be posting about. I'd be posting about what the kind of experiences the mentors had been sharing with me, their struggles, their successes that they have had in building that year-long relationship with their mentee, and everything in between, what we were doing out in the community, if I was doing outreach somewhere, you know, stuff about our staff, about our board members, things like that. I think just being as genuine as possible and just giving that really transparent, genuine information out to everybody, I think is really the way to connect with your audience. Because I think that people are going on social media just to learn and soak in all of what's going around around their community. And so that was just kind of the tactic that I did. So thanks for being a satisfied consumer of my Instagram feed.
So what's on the wish list of Grace when she sent it over to Jennifer of like, hey, we should maybe look at this, or maybe what about this idea? Like, what's some of your thoughts related to
for
United Way as far as social is concerned?
Oh, for social media. Yeah. So we work with Chelsea. Chelsea is our media marketing events coordinator. What would I want to know? If I was a person in need of information, either it's services that are available in our community, because that's really the information that I'm going to be able to give is the services that are available in Olmsted County. And then what information do I want to know about this organization? So I know that Chelsea does a really good job on that end with what do you want to know about United Way and what exactly do we do. So I just feed her that information of what our internal programmings are doing for everyone, whether it's helping them get their taxes filed for free. And that is really serving a population that truly relies on getting their refunds back and having that money to utilize. Or it is getting school supplies out for kids in our school district or neighboring school districts, and just what that means to families that may not be able to access those resources themselves.
And one thing that comes to mind for me is somebody in Chelsea's position, if I'm imagining that, is it's difficult at times to come up with consistent content because you're maybe not necessarily out in the field or doing certain things that other people of the team are doing. And so I think it's helpful, and it doesn't matter. It's like, I think of our businesses, I think of the China Hall, like, gosh, if you have people kind of giving you ideas, it just makes that content production so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
More.
I know this year we really bumped up our plans as far as marketing and media. We actually are good partners with Strut, and we actually put together a calendar of all of our social media. Yes. And have it ready to go. Mm-hmm. And we focused our campaign on Be Bold, and we did a Smile Bold campaign. So if you ever saw it, people with orange smiles on social media, that was us. But we went around to different events and provided oranges, and just did, smiles with oranges, and asked people to share what they smile bold for. And I can almost guarantee anything you smile bold for in this community, we touch in some way. So I thought it was really fun to do that. And I've had people recently ask me why I don't have oranges in my mouth anymore. So done with that. So.
I had somebody, I don't remember who it was, but I had told somebody, someone from United Way reached out and asked to be on the podcast. And like, I think they were just at a B&I and we had to like put an orange in her mouth. And so like it's working, like, and that gets the word out. And they may have no idea what United Way does, but that at least starts the conversation, which leads to who knows what.
All right. About the branding.
Yeah, mm-hmm. All about it. That's sweet. Cool.
So you'll see. I mean, and we have popular figures from the community that have orange smiles on posters, and our social media campaign is highlighting each of those, both successes as well as challenges in our community to educate. I think our last one was the challenge that we put out there was 263 students from RPS schools were homeless last year. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine
263 from Rochester Public Schools were homeless last year.
Kids. Mm-hmm. And you put that into perspective, and you think about what kind of barriers those kids have, but what kind of barriers their family in general has, and what can we do, or what supports are there to help them become a stable family. And so those are the type of programs that we're looking at investing in to make that transition for those families. We have great stories. We're getting better at storytelling. Our last campaign, we talked about Raylanda, who moved from Iowa. She had to leave her four children back in Iowa in a bad situation, brought her young child with her because of the hope and opportunity that she felt that Rochester had, found herself homeless and could not find a job either. If you can imagine moving here for that, and then what do you do? What kind of supports are here available for you? So she was able to actually access, Channel One for food. She was able to work with Family Promise to now she is on her way to home ownership. So those kind of stories are the ones that we like to share. So many nonprofits have touched her life, and we're able to share those stories and how we've helped those invest in those nonprofits as well.
What you got, Jimmy?
Just thinking about like nonprofits and everything. I know the big thing I've always seen, even at work, would be we'd always have the like Toys for Tots raffle where people could come in and drop off toys, or maybe it was for like food and stuff like that. I guess I never really knew, but is that kind of a thing is that sponsored then by the United Way like specifically, or other? Okay, I was not sure, but mm-hmm. I guess what are some things like, is there things like that that you guys would do then as far as like?
Yeah, actually, so the Running Start for School program, there are collection bins at different businesses all throughout Olmsted County, and that is a place where you can bring in school supplies in bins just like that, and then that'll get dispersed to kids in need throughout our area.
And that operates June to July.
Okay.
And then we distribute in August. Mm-hmm.
How do you distribute?
We actually work with the school district to talk. I'm sorry. Should I? Do you want
Go
to?
Go ahead.
Okay. Since Grace is a little bit newer, mm-hmm. she might not know all of this off the top of her head quite yet.
I certainly do
but
not.
I've definitely told enough people. So, we work with the school district to determine need. Within the school district, we work with 45 different schools within the surrounding areas, and we try to fulfill their need that they tell us. I think we distributed, boy, this used to be at the top of my head, last year, 2,300 backpacks, I want to say, is about it. I have to brush up on my facts because I haven't been talking about it for the last month or so. So
stop by my desk. We can go through the data.
Yes, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it takes collaboration with those collection partners, and then we actually have a great relationship with UPS. UPS will drop off the bins at the businesses and pick them up and bring them back to United Way and then take them to each of the schools for us.
Wow.
So back in the day, we used to have them just brought to United Way, and United Way was the only way that you could get the backpack. So we had lines of people coming into United Way. You can imagine that just wasn't a very efficient model. But really having them distributed back to the schools and letting the schools distribute those backpacks, they know who the kids are that need them. And I actually had a great experience. My son's in second grade. And we were at Meet the Teacher, and we were just, going around and figuring out where his desk was and everything. And then I heard the teacher talking to a young gal, and she said, Monica or whatever her name was, did you get your backpack? And she said, no, I haven't. She said, well, go over to room, 202 and go get your backpack. And that was just so awesome for me to hear because they didn't know who I was and they didn't know what I was hearing, but I knew exactly what I was hearing, and it's working because teachers really are in tune with the kids that need the backpacks. So
sweet. Just going around the table, what do you think one challenge is for nonprofits? And that I'll just leave it at that. And it's kind of an interesting question, I feel, because it's coming from, you're getting answers from people that don't know much about the nonprofit world, and you're getting people that have been in the nonprofit world. So start it off, Josh, what's one challenge you feel like for nonprofits?
I mean, I would say just like the outreach and the teaching about what, what it is, what's going on, what's available, where you can donate, what it's doing. Because I'm in the community and stuff like that, and I don't hear enough of it personally. So I just don't know. So when you brought that up, I'm like, yeah, I don't know, what is United Way, and I want to learn. But I think it needs to be maybe reach that younger demographic, entrepreneurs, stuff like that. And I think social media is a great way to do that.
Well, yeah, and I guess one thing I would say to that is it's a little more clear what Pasquale's Pizza does, right? It's
yeah.
Like they sell pizza.
Yeah.
But then when I hear United Way, I'm like,
and you know,
what do they do?
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. It's huge. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. It's very broad. What you got, Jimmy? What's one of the challenges that you believe nonprofits have?
Yeah, I think when I'm thinking about it personally, I'd like to think that a lot of people are giving what they can to help out, but maybe participation, maybe not as, I guess, maybe not everyone is giving as much as they could or should. So, I mean, that would be a big thing I would think, because I'm not sure what it looks like as far as, how many people are participating. But, maybe just more participation or lack of participation could be a challenge that I would see.
Mm-hmm. That's a really great observation. For someone that maybe doesn't, I don't know what your experiences are in nonprofits, but that's very astute. I would say from my experiences, a challenge that's unique to our community is we have a lot of nonprofits here. It's 400 some nonprofits in our community, which is very crazy for our population size. And so I think one of the unique challenges for being in, for working with a nonprofit here in this community is that there's just so many of us. And so there's so many that are doing so many wonderful things. And how do you, as a donor or a volunteer, figure out how to, you only have so much money and you only have so much time. So how do you really figure out where your time and money is best well spent? And how does that get to the right people or the right amount of people, whatever that is in your eyes. And that's just on donor volunteer side. But then as an employee, a person that works for the nonprofit, that outreach piece is of course a big challenge, but it's especially a big challenge in our community when there's you and 400 other nonprofits really trying to reach this different audience, this different audience, this different audience. So I think that's something that is perhaps unique to our community and maybe not to other communities.
I think just telling our story and getting the word out is probably the biggest challenge that we have, and having people that are willing to open doors for those conversations. So, you know, we have three people that are sitting at the table now that have learned a little bit more. You know, if I were to ask you, would you be willing to introduce me to five other people that you think might be interested in learning more or having a conversation, would you be willing to do that? And just having the opportunity and the reciprocation on the other end to be willing to do that. And that's how we thrive as nonprofits, is building relationships with people. You know, if I didn't know you, you're probably not going to take a phone call from me and say, hey, you want to sit down for coffee and learn about United Way? But if a friend says, hey, I know Jennifer, you know, I just learned about United Way, and I think that, you know, you think it would be cool too, and I'll even go with you, would be a best case scenario. But that takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of willingness, and it takes that passion. So it's finding those individuals that are willing to help us spread the message, and everyone is very well intentioned. Everybody's busy though as well. So, you know, I look for people to bring into the circle that can help us spread the word and be willing to talk on our behalf as well.
All right, it's my turn. The only camera that is filming me is this one. That one. Okay, so my turn. My thought is, I would say the overall lack of understanding that just around the corner, there could be a huge opportunity that could like unlock some really good changes. And by simply collaborating with other nonprofits or other for-profits or people, that could unlock that opportunity. And I feel like there's probably some of these opportunities that it simply is you reaching out to this person or this nonprofit, talking to this nonprofit, and all of a sudden we're helping people that we didn't even touch years ago, or we haven't touched for years. And so I feel as though it's just that, it's just that lack of knowledge related to it's, you're simply one phone call, one flipping Facebook message away, one Instagram message away from like helping two more people, three more people, 100 more people. And I think that's one of the big challenges we have, because we so often, even in the for-profit world, get locked in our world of like, you know, we got to figure out how to survive here. And it's like, if I only would have made that one other phone call or one other message, it's amazing what that can unlock. So
true.
That's what I think of. Awesome.
So just quick, how do the nonprofits, because you said there's tons of them, how do they work together?
Well, United Way works with tons of other nonprofits. We have the privilege of being able to designate our dollars to serve other programs in the community. Also, we do have the grant opportunities that we extend out to other nonprofits in our community, where nonprofits can go in together and they can create a program together. And so I see a lot of nonprofits that are really working closely together. Maybe they serve the same population or a very similar population. And so they're really being strategic about their own resources and linking with other nonprofits in the area to just figure out how to get all the resources in one area and serve as many people as possible. So from what I've seen on our end of what the type of programs we get to fund and we get to interact with, I've seen a lot of collaboration, which is really, really wonderful, because that just means that more people in our community get the needs met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I would echo what Grace said. And, you know, every nonprofit has its own mission, so we're each different. And I would say sometimes nonprofits do actually compete for dollars, or that's the purview that some nonprofits take. But if we can have the purview of we're collaborating together for the greater good, that's what we're trying to encourage. You know, but there are so many volunteers that are involved. You know, you were saying you're part of the why. You know, your priority is the why. You know, you want to figure out how are we going to make things happen here. But is the board having conversations about how are we working with other organizations? Because really, all nonprofits are governed by boards. The staff are not the ones that are making the decisions. It's volunteer board members that are helping give the direction to what the staff are doing. So are our board members also willing to collaborate with other organizations? And has it gotten to that level of discussion? So, you know, that's something that I challenge board members of nonprofits to think about as well.
Yeah, that's a really good challenge. Mm-hmm. All right. We are 45 minutes in. You believe that?
Ooh. Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes. That was great.
Awesome.
I think we should wrap it up with, it could go one of two ways, and I'm open to ideas as well. But one way would be how can, and I'm going to focus it on millennials, how can millennials get active in nonprofits? Because I think that's a challenge in the sense that we don't often have the money to give, and we're in a point in our career we don't have the time, and it's like, oh my gosh. And I think there's some great examples locally that they're doing it. And maybe the other question, if you wanted to take this one, would be, you know, what's a good example of someone, what's a sign, what's a good example of someone we can help direct them towards the United Way that they could get help? And so, you know, if I'm at a school, for example, and I see somebody that doesn't have a backpack, like, is that a sign? I don't know. Like, how do we plug people in with United Way that could really use the resources and the talent and the people that are there at the United Way? Josh, mm-hmm. You got to take a both just because. Oh, actually, we're going the other way. Jennifer, your turn.
Okay, so.
Which one are you taking?
I don't know which one am I going to take. You had so much there.
millennials.
Millennials.
Okay, I was going to say, I want to take the millennials.
Oh, Grace, you take the millennials.
All right.
Well, you can go first.
No, so what's okay. What's a good... Okay, you're going first.
I'll go first. Millennials. I'm a millennial. I understand we don't have a lot of resources, and all we have are, in my opinion, some time, and we have a wealth of talents. And so what I'd say is use your talents and your passions. We had a wonderful volunteer when I was at Boulder Options who was a graphic designer. And so she used her talents to volunteer with us and redesign a lot of our marketing materials. And that was just an incredible gift that she gave to us. And so millennials are really, really good at stuff. We're really good at social media. And that's something that I think nonprofits, some of them could really benefit from, is having a better social media presence. And so people in our age group, if we can't give dollars and we can't give volunteer time in the sense of going and stuffing a backpack for our backpack program, if you can help us come up with social media content, that is honestly just as impactful. Or if you can help us with video services or photography services, or if you have incredible data entry skills and you love that, or you love just being an ambassador in the community and telling the story of a nonprofit, that's something that may seem easy for you to do because maybe you're a social butterfly like myself, mm-hmm. and that's something that just comes naturally to you, telling stories to other people. Do that. That's really, really incredibly impactful, possibly just as much as giving, you know, $5 every paycheck. So I would encourage millennials to just take the things that we're good at and offer those services for free to nonprofits because it really does a lot.
There's two things that I would recommend also with that. We have a group that's called Emerging Leaders in Giving, and it's a group of younger professionals that volunteer together. They network together as well. So we provide those opportunities for young professionals to get together to do that. Also, we have a site that's called Get Connected. So if you're looking for a volunteer opportunity, you can go to United Way website and get on the Get Connected portal, which is also one of Grace's babies.
I didn't even talk about that. That's my other baby.
And
next podcast.
Yes, exactly.
All about volunteering.
There are lots and lots of opportunities to volunteer one time, multiple times with your family, by yourself. That is where the nonprofit community is. We're directing them to put their needs is on this Get Connected portal, and that's supported by United Way. That's another thing that I would say.
Great.
So we do need your help, though, as far as how do we direct or suggest or just help plug people into the United Way? Because I think all of us wouldn't know where to start. You know, like, you should go talk to the United Way. About what?
We're always up for coffee.
You and I are.
You and I are we always are. Up for coffee.
Yeah, we're the ones to talk to because we love to talk.
Yeah, definitely. It's an interesting question because we are not real big event people. Often nonprofits have events and we say, invite your friends to our events. Mm-hmm. I hate events, personally. They're often a time suck and they don't necessarily bring in the funds that they should for the time that you put into them. And I would 10 times rather talk to 10 people that can have the capacity of giving $10,000 that would make more than that one event would. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Be more
impact
efficient
for the time.
Right, exactly. So, one-on-one conversations is really, really great. But we have a celebration of caring and giving coming up. That would be a great event to come to. That is open to anyone. That's April 23rd. We do have Power of the Purse coming, which is our one event that we do. They're all men sitting around this table, so I don't know how interested you would be into coming to
Jimmy
Power
likes
of
purses.
The Purse. that's an example where we're bringing in an author, Susan Klebold. Her son Dylan Klebold was actually unfortunately one of the Columbine shooters. And so she, as a mother, is dealing with that aftermath and shares that in her book as well as her talks about mental health awareness and really making sure that we're paying attention to our kiddos and making sure that their mental health is in check as well. So I think that would be a really great topic to talk about in general. I just really think she's a woman full of courage to be able to speak on behalf of the subject of mental health.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the type of thing that we bring into town, these renowned speakers that you can hear about as well. So, and that's on June 11th.
There you go. What you got, Josh?
Oh, kind of going off what Grace said, I think it is, for people, millennials, who don't have, the cash, and she was looking at you when she said 10,000, by the way. So.
Bucky in.
Yeah, I would agree, because a lot of us do have different skills in a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And if we can give some of that time and really get connected in something like that, then yeah, that is a really good way.
And it's not even millennials with
no, it is
right?
Yeah.
It's like your talents. Like, gosh, if you can provide your talents, mm-hmm. and there's so many, talents.
Yep.
So true.
So, yeah, I would say definitely. Yeah. And then we got to figure out, who you need, what you need, stuff like that. And then you're like, okay, we need this, this, and this for an event or for this. Then people can collab and be like, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I know these people. Mm-hmm. Let's go ask them and kind of just connect and make it work, with the skills and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Yeah.
Door openers are key for us. Mm-hmm. So introducing us to those people that can help is really great.
Any takeaways you got, Jimmy,
from
tonight's podcast?
I was going to go off of the millennial thing. I guess maybe the biggest thing would be, because I know social media is a big thing now and everyone's on that, but even just more ways to find common ground to reach out, you know, and gear something towards, so that way they're going to see it maybe and pay attention to something like that, so it catches their attention. So that's kind of what I was thinking about, just like ways to find common ground. You know, social media is great, but other ways to kind of go about that, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
All right. We're going to look at this camera because that's the camera. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the Offices of China Hall Friday night podcast, where we wear our pajamas because it gets super late. Right, Grace?
Yes.
And we don't know who we're going to have on next week's podcast. We really don't know what time it's going to be, but we know we'll be at the Offices of China Hall. Thank you, everybody. If people want to learn more about United Way, where can they go? How do they find out
more? www.uwolmsted.org.
And do you have an Instagram?
I think we do have an Instagram. We do. I know we have an
we'll
Instagram.
We'll figure that out and link that.
I don't know
up.
The handle.
Put all the links in. Yep.
I don't own it. I'm sorry.
Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks. Ah, oh, you snuck in the pajama line.
Gotcha.
Dang. I thought I was gonna agree on that. Well, thanks, guys. That was super fun. I'll remember. If I'm ever invited back, I'll remember that I'm supposed to be here. And I'll wear real clothes.
No, thank you. Did that go longer than you guys?